got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little
Super Tramp?
Now they're planning the crime of the century. Well, what would it be? Read all about their schemes and adventuring. Yes, it's well worth the fee. So roll up,
see. Most exciting innovation in years on the Dory Monson Show. Nicole, now that you've heard it, are your doors blown off?
Oh, my. Well, it's a little intense there when the name of the band changes. Mm-hmm. And I like a little more oomph to the start of my last hour of Friday.
I know, but I just felt like prime of the century. Prime of the century.
Really,
I mean, we could go with faster pace. We'll come up with faster pace songs. But today, it just felt like a crime of the century day to me.
Yeah.
It's very important. This was a very important album to me at a very important time in my life. Hmm. You have to understand. 16, driving around my Plymouth Duster, killer sound system. Pop in Supertramp's Crime of the Century, and I was good to go. I was filled with nothing but dreams for the future. For the life that will be, maybe I'd find a girl someday. Maybe I'd get a job. Oh, Sean, bring it up full here, please. Come on. Let's hear some piano now.
Wow. I'm really disappointed.
How can you be disappointed? I think it worked out lovely.
Go to the text line.
I hope
tell
you're
us
not,
to bring back fog hat or not.
I hope you're not speaking for the listeners as well.
That's what I mean. Let's find out. Supertramp or fog hat?
Everybody can relate to this.
What if we did a little mix-up called Super Hat or Fog Tramp?
We could do that. A little mixtape. Okay. Oh, disappoint. No. Bring back fog hat. Love it. No. Hate it. Too slow for a Friday.
Way too slow.
You're too slow for a Friday, Nicole.
That's why I needed a little pick-me-up.
Oh, man. Okay. I was in a mellow mood. I think I talked to Sean about this song the day after I'd only slept 1 hour. So this seemed kind of right for the funk I was in that day. So, All right. Well, wait till you hear the bottom of the hour. Hold on for that, for crying out loud.
Are we getting rid of Dead Mouse?
you just have to tune in and see.
Hmm. All right.
Maybe we are. Maybe we're not. You just have to listen to find out. This is what I do instead. We don't have a promotional budget. So how else am I going to get people to stick around and tune in for crying out loud?
Hmm. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I support
it. Okay, let's get to the big lead.
Where are we going here, Dory?
Top story and then exclusive, and you're firing it out of exclusive.
Oh, yeah.
The big lead, top story.
So excited about the Supertramp. Forgot to tell Sean what we were doing here in our big lead. All right, it is a very serious story that starts our big lead this hour. Because one of the byproducts of the drug crisis throughout our region. And I've talked about this many times. I talked about this a couple of hours ago. We have politicians and lawyers and judges who care far more about homeless drug vagrant criminals than they care about good, honest, hardworking, taxpaying people. And, you know, go to Olympia, and they have taken this area around that lake in Olympia, and it's turned into a gigantic trash heap. We've seen what's happening all around Seattle, up to Bellingham, certainly. Love all our Whatcom County listeners. Thank you for tuning in every day. We know we've got a great audience up there. But when you enable drug criminals, and almost every drug vagrant is a criminal because they have to break into homes and houses and cars so that they can feed their addiction. And a lot of them are just mentally whacked out. And right now, we don't have a way to involuntarily put them away. But we've got to start protecting the people, the innocent people, the hardworking taxpaying people, the children of our region. And I'll give you a perfect example of all of this. Up in Bellingham, a mother there talked to Q13 News about how dangerous it is around every one of these homeless encampments. Her daughter, who's 11 years old, was waiting for a ride home from gymnastics practice when one of the drug criminal vagrants came over and groped this 11-year-old girl.
I was driving our van to come pick her up, and I saw a man clearly inebriated walking down the street slowly, so I tried to pull in front of him to get my daughter in the van as quickly as possible. But he got to her first.
He got to the girl, he groped her, fondled her, and Q13 reported on the growing concerns in the neighborhood.
Bellingham police tell Q13 they arrested the 39-year-old man who told officers he lives at a homeless encampment in the parking lot of Frank Jerry Softball Fields. Investigators say he allegedly slapped or grabbed the 11-year-old girl on the backside Tuesday evening as she was about to get into her mother's car. People who live and work in the area say safety is an ongoing concern surrounding the homeless encampment, which formed shortly after a large encampment was cleared from the grounds of City Hall in late January.
And that's why I say we're doing everything 180 degrees wrong. It should be treatment option for every single person who's out on the streets. But if they refuse the treatment, as 98% did in the Denny Park sweep a few days ago, if they refuse treatment, then put them in jail. And they won't get their drugs. Put them in jail for 30 days. If they go back out on the streets and don't accept treatment and they live on the streets again, put them in jail for another 30 days. And keep repeating it over and over and over again. But it's time to stop letting innocent neighborhoods and families and homes be victimized around every one of these homeless encampments. Burglaries and property crimes skyrocket. And now we have 11-year-old girls getting groped. A neighbor up in Bellingham is furious because they let an encampment. They used to kind of be around City Hall mainly, but now they're going around schools.
The encampment that is here has already shown, and the mayor and the city council have already voiced that they are unsafe. They cannot maintain a safe encampment, but let them relocate across the street from schools, from youth facilities.
And Bellingham Police Officer Lieutenant Claudia Murphy told Q13 that this guy who groped the 11-year-old girl amazingly had been arrested earlier that same day.
We arrested him for another incident on that same day. There was probable cause for his arrest for an assault that he had committed on the 28th against one of our officers, where he had been running on the freeway. Then he left the freeway. He ran down into one of our neighborhoods, climbed into a car, broke the window out of the car as he was trying to hit one of our officers with a mirror. Then he broke the front window out. They got him out of the car. He wouldn't quit fighting. He had to go to the hospital for further treatment.
The bottom line is it's time for politicians, lawyers, judges to care more about 11-year-old children than you do a heroin addict.
Just the fact that we're expected to live and work and play in a neighborhood that is completely unsafe. We have seen the deterioration of safety from the moment the homeless encampment moved in. Our parks and our trails are rendered completely unsafe and useless to us is very frustrating.
It is incredibly frustrating. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, I've been telling you for years and years and years, Democrats in our state have a holy grail. They've been pursuing it with unbridled lust and fervor. And that holy grail is a state income tax. And tomorrow, they are going to cast a vote on income tax. It is clearly unconstitutional, but they are plowing ahead anyway. Jason Mercier is with the Washington Policy Center, has been following this closer than anybody. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Jason, good to talk to you again.
Hey, Dory, it's good to be on with you. And, you know, this is DEFCON 1. I mean, this is happening. I am just stunned that the Senate is about to ram through an income tax on a Saturday, weeks before we get a new state revenue forecast, which everybody believes is going to be up substantially. It's just truly shocking.
Yeah, well, that's because they don't care about fiscal responsibility. They just want more and more and more. And an income tax will do that. I'll get to the state revenue forecast in a couple of minutes. But why do they believe that this will pass constitutional muster in the courts?
I have no idea. The Supreme Court for almost 100 years has repeatedly had the same ruling that you own your income, which means it's property and is subject to our property tax restrictions. This was not one-off ruling in the 1930s. There are rulings from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and as recently as the 2000s where the court has just said it's income. If you want a graduated income tax, amend the Constitution. And the voters have rejected six constitutional amendments to do that. So Right. Nothing has changed that gives me an indication that this is going to be a successful strategy. But this is their Hail Mary. This is their attempt.
How frustrated do you get? Because this makes my blood boil. The irresponsibility in how this is being presented to the people, because every single media outlet besides my show, as far as I know, calls this a capital gains tax. They are trying this little sleight of hand to not even let people know what it actually is. But the IRS has clearly defined capital gains as income, correct?
Yeah. I mean, this is incredibly frustrating on two fronts. Let's first take the game about this being an excise tax. There is not a state in the country, and there's not a country in the world that I'm aware of, that calls a capital gains tax an excise tax. From the IRS down to every tax professional that I'm aware of, they are all in agreement. Capital gains are income, and taxes on them are an income tax. An excise tax is a transaction tax, right?
Right.
Think about the gas tax, the cigarette tax, the liquor tax, the real estate excise tax. Those are taxes you pay at point of sale on price or volume. That's not what a capital gains tax is. And in fact, if you actually read the bill says this tax applies to the income reported to the IRS. It's just clearly an income tax.
Well, and what's funny about that, not funny, pathetic about that, is the state in several of their web pages has called capital gains income. And I've heard that they have been frantically going through state websites trying to cleanse that from any reference anymore because they, again, are so desperate to go around and just ignore the Constitution and the law here.
Yeah, let me hit the purge of the state websites first, and then I'll get to the second reason why this is so frustrating. The Department of Commerce, which is our economic development entity charged with marketing Washington across the country and the world, for nearly a decade has run a website called Choose Washington. And that website prominently on multiple places said, you should choose Washington because you're going to be at a competitive advantage. We have no personal or corporate income tax. And up until a few years ago, it also mentioned the fact no capital gains tax. That all changed in January and February. They systematically purged that website of any reference to the fact that we don't have an income tax. And I actually have a public records request out there to see who ordered that. So it's, you know, while you've got states like Florida and Texas proudly marketing the fact they don't have an income tax, apparently now our Department of Commerce is running away from that fact. But to the reason, the second reason why this is so frustrating, we talked about the game about calling it an excise tax, which just nobody in the world calls a tax on income an excise tax. But this gets to the second frustration. The voters are having none of this. The voters are rejecting constitutional amendments. So this is an attempt to see if they can get five Supreme Court justices to overturn that 100 years of case law saying you own your income. So so that they can have a graduated income tax without a constitutional amendment. And we know this is the plan because public records from lawmakers clearly show this is their goal.
Well, and we also know that their goal is once they get any income tax at all, it is not going to stop with whatever they're voting on tomorrow. It will, the threshold will lower. They'll have another budget emergency. We'll have to pay teachers $300,000 a year because of some court decision. And all of a sudden, they're going to lower the threshold. They're going to increase the rate. And more people are going to be caught paying an income tax if we allow this to happen.
Well, Gorg, I mean, as the chair of the Finance Committee would tell you, that's a pessimistic worldview, right? No normal person pays a federal income tax, right? Because when that was created, it was only going to apply to millionaires.
Right. Hey, the sales tax was 4% when I was a kid. It's over 10% now. Every tax keeps going up and up and up, and every tax keeps ensnaring more and more people. So, we absolutely know what the plan is here. So what do we do about it, Jason?
Well, as things stand right now, this is on the schedule for tomorrow. So it could be voted on sometime on Saturday. It looks like there are currently 24 no votes, and the magic number is 25 to either pass or kill a bill. And the no votes appear to be, along with all the Republicans, the Democratic senators Sheldon, Hobbs, Mullet, and it sounds like Cleveland, which means that 25th vote going one way or the other is probably going to come down to Senators Vandaway, Carlisle, and Randall. So those three kind of are the key to determine whether or not this passes.
I'm surprised to hear Carlisle on there. I thought he was a pretty reliable left-wing guy.
Well, he did vote for it out of committee, but he is somebody who has consistently recognized the volatility problems that this can cause for the state's budget.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I mean, you mentioned this a few minutes ago. When Jay Inslee was running for president, he was touting how Washington has the best economy in the country, and now they want to cut out the main reason we have, if his words are true, the best or one of the best economies in the country. They want to eliminate that because they care more about getting their grubby little hands on our money than they care about the businesses and the jobs that will be lost and all of the consequences that undoubtedly will happen if they start pushing through an income tax in the state.
It is just truly ironic that we are renowned for our tax structure being stable and dependable, and our Commerce Department up until recently was bragging about the fact we have no income tax.
Yep.
And with a possible Saturday vote, we're about to throw all that away.
Amazing. Okay, here's what you, the listener, does. You call the legislative hotline, 800-562-6000. I'll give it to you one more time, but that's the legislative hotline where you can let your voice be heard, and you must do it. Call 800-562-6000, know who your representative and your senator is, and get the word through that you do not want a state income tax, because we got to fight against this. We got to fight hard against it, and you have less than 24 hours to do it right now. Anything else people should do, Jason, in your view?
It's coming down to this weekend, it looks like. So this is the time, because unfortunately, if it passes the Senate, it will probably very quickly get ratified by the House, and then we're looking at litigation.
And Jay Inslee says he's going to implement this before the courts have a chance to rule on it.
Well, he can say what he wants. If an injunction is filed, it will go to the courts. But either way, let's say there's no legal challenge. Let's say that the voters don't overturn this through a referendum or an initiative. This tax is scheduled not to be collected until April 2023 because we don't have an IRS. We have to create our own state version of the IRS just to administer this tax.
Yeah, another huge state bureaucracy. Jason, you always do a great job sounding the alarm on things that are truly alarming. So I'm glad you shared this with my listeners, and I always appreciate you coming on with me.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Jason Mercier at the Washington Policy Center. You can check them out at washingtonpolicy.org. But I'm telling you, don't let this get by. Don't let them put in an income tax. It will grow. It will eventually ensnare most people in the state. Taxes always, always do. So call that legislative hotline and let your voice be heard. They scheduled this on a Saturday for a reason. They wanted it to be kind of out of the usual time that people are most active. The legislative hotline, 800-562-6000. Be heard. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we have lots more to come, including more from Jay Inslee on moving teachers to the front of the line after he said he absolutely would not do that. That and much more as the Dory Monson Show continues. Broadcast week. I don't know what to do this weekend. This is crazy. My wife's been working at home. I've been working at home. We have been together just an unprecedented amount of time for the last year. And I mentioned that my mother-in-law is getting her second COVID shot this afternoon. And my wife, who hasn't seen her mom in a year down in Vancouver, Washington, my wife went down to take her to get the shot and to, you know, make sure she's going to stay with her for, you know, 24, 36 hours, make sure that she doesn't have any after effects. And, you know, my mother-in-law is 84, lives on her own in the house my wife grew up in. She's incredibly healthy, sharp as can be, physically walks a ton. But my wife went down. So I'm a bachelor. I'm a bachelor tonight and tomorrow night. What should I do with this freedom? I can play the TV as loud as I want. I can, I don't know. My friends, I haven't stayed in good touch with them socially because everybody's been hunkered down. I literally do not know what to do with a bachelor weekend now. So if you have any thoughts, if you have any great ideas for me,
I say you can text me
98973. No, I've thought about that, but
get some exercise.
I'll get some exercise. I'll hit the Peloton. But and then I got to walk if I want to go to the store because we only have one car now, and my wife took it down to Vancouver. I've been carless for a couple of weeks. Yeah. I don't know what I'm... that's a whole other issue. I've driven maybe 1,000 miles in the last year. I hardly go anywhere. And so I don't even know what to get for a next car. So everything's just up in the air. But now I feel trapped and claustrophobic because I don't have a car on my bachelor weekend.
Yeah, but that's what's great about Uber.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Down in Portland, you may recall this. There's a Portland city commissioner who had voted to defund the police. And when she got in an Uber and she didn't like the Uber driver and the Uber driver wanted to kick her out of the car, she called 911. Let me just refresh your memory, because this is how unhinged this woman is. And Joanne Hardesty is back in the news today. But here's the 911 call she made from an Uber.
911, what's your emergency?
I got a Lyft driver that decided he would just drop me off at a filling station and he wants me to get out. And I'm not getting out of the car and the dog at a filling station. Not happening. All because I asked him to put the window up. But I'm not leaving. He says I have to get out of his car. Or he's
So the driver wanted to have the window down because of COVID, and he liked to have fresh air circulate in the car, and this commissioner wanted the window up, and she called. She actually, a woman who wanted to defund the police is calling 911 because a Lyft driver, I keep saying Uber, it's Lyft, a Lyft driver in his personal private vehicle, and he has the right to refuse service.
Oh, so I decided to call Full House.
Okay. I mean, technically it's his property and you have a civil agreement. There's no crimes involved.
Well, he said he was calling the cops. That's sort of my...
It's not a crime to call the cops.
Well...
I mean, I could have the cops... What was that?
I said, I am not going to allow him to leave me on the side of the road. I paid for a ride, and he canceled it. He says he canceled it.
Can you believe this woman wanted to defund the police? Well, now she's back in the news again today because Joanne Hardesty was involved in, according to the Oregonian, in a hit and run. A Portland driver reported that she was rear-ended Wednesday afternoon while stopped at a light. The woman who took off from the scene of the crime, that same woman, Joanne Hardesty, defund the police city councilwoman. Police officers went to her apartment, but she refused to open the door. So when she's in a Lyft, she calls the cops. When she hits somebody in a hit and run, she refuses to answer the door for the cops. Again, this is just the kind of insanity that is driving politics in Portland and Seattle right now. And then I heard this. My wife and I went to Costco. We had Cairo on. I heard a newscast with Jay Inslee. This ticked me off.
If I had a nickel for every excuse I have heard from not giving our children on-site instruction, I would be a millionaire at this point. These excuses are getting just a little bit tiresome.
A nickel for every excuse? You'd be a millionaire? So you're telling me, Governor, you've heard 20 million excuses? It's this kind of math illiteracy that is bringing this state down. All right, a quick timeout, and then we will count down our favorite sound bites of the week. Awesome audio next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a week, what a show, what a week, what a show, what a thing. What a thingy-majingy. All right, it is that time of the week when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Week.
This isn't an awesome audio here, but I saw a CBS reporter, or heard a CBS reporter, and there are certain phrases that just drive me insane at the end of the day. I know it's an old, hackneyed, cliched topic, but the one that nobody used until about 2 years ago in the news is this.
His public health officials also doubling down, pointing to another uptick in cases and deaths.
Also doubling down. Does anybody know what that refers to? It's, you know, from blackjack. You have an 11, dealer has and almost anything except a 10 or an ace, you double down. You can double your bet and just take one card. But it's been used now a billion times by news people, and I'm guessing a bunch of them don't even know what its origin is, what it means. Why don't we use other blackjack terms? Biden's advisors are now splitting pairs, or from craps. They're betting on the come line, the pass line, the come line. You have the pass, the come, the don't pass. They're betting. Yeah, man. I think we need to start getting other casino phrases in because I am sick and tired of doubling down. Okay, to our awesome audio of the week, Joe Biden showed off his confusion, hasn't done a press conference in 45 days, and it is now being reported that Kamala Harris is taking calls from other world leaders because Joe either cannot or will not. But this kind of shows where he is right now.
I think he's getting on a plane. He told me last, he came in to see me last event. And representatives, Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli, excuse me, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And Mayor Turner.
Wow. And then he just has trouble enunciating quite often.
I could be known for as president. I would be the president who, during his era, ended cancer as we know it.
Just gibberish. Tim Allen on a podcast this week, he says that he feels about taxes the same way I did.
I had this silent partner, never liked taxes, never liked what they do with taxes and the both sides. It's not their money.
The silent partner being the government?
The government. I never really liked that.
Yeah, I don't blame him for that at all. But then this is the one that got him in the crosshairs. People want to cancel Toy Story now because Tim Allen voiced Buzz Lightyear. And after this week, when he actually said something kind of nice about Donald Trump, there's a big movement to get Toy Story canceled.
I literally don't preach anything.
Right.
I said what I've done is I've just not joined into, as I call it, the we culture. I'm not telling anybody else how to live. I don't like that. It was like we should do this or we should do that. And once I realized that the last president pissed people off, I kind of liked that. So it was fun to just not say anything. Didn't join in the lynching crowd.
Okay, but now there's this big movement on Reddit and Twitter to get Toy Story canceled because Tim Allen said something that innocuous about Donald Trump. And I think a lot of people are just sick and tired of the whole cancel culture, even on the left. Bill Maher, who I generally don't agree with, on his show had a fantastic monologue about how outrageous cancel culture has gotten.
Cancel culture is real, it's insane, and it's growing exponentially, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you. If you think it's just for celebrities, no. In an era where everyone is online, everyone is a public figure. It's like we're all trapped in the Hills Have Eyes and Wi-Fi.
And he talked about how ridiculous the Chris Harrison, you know, who had to step aside from hosting The Bachelor because he said, let's not persecute a contestant who went to a plantation party 3 years ago.
Of course, he's not stepping away because he's the host of a televised snake pit where 32 female contestants are trapped in the sorority house from hell. It's because he wouldn't throw one of them under the bus when it came to light that in college she attended a dress-up like we're in the old South party, which is not a type of party we should be throwing, in that it winks at a civilization built on slavery, yes. But apparently in 2018, millions of people were still doing it. And mature people understand humans are continually evolving, as opposed to Wokeville, where they're always shocked we didn't emerge enlightened from the primordial ooze. What's Chris Harrison supposed to do? Build a time machine, go back to 2018 and knock the mint juleps out of their hands? Maybe while he's time traveling, he can have a word with that asshole Abraham Lincoln, who's now canceled in San Francisco, and they're thinking about it in Illinois. Yes, the land of Lincoln might cancel Lincoln. Memo to social justice warriors, when what you're doing sounds like an Onion headline, stop.
Stop. I'm with him on that. All right, have a fantastic weekend. Tom Curley Show coming up next, and I'll see you back here Monday. High noon. Hello.
That dude acting crazy.
He's not crazy. He's just passionate with big ideas.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.